Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live on this Tuesday. We've got a great show for you today. A little bit of change from what we usually do on a Tuesday. We'll do Open Forum second hour, and Tim Staples will be here for Open Forum second hour. But we had an opportunity to have a special guest this first hour and did not want to pass this opportunity up. Many of you may well be aware that earlier this year, we got a beautiful letter on the transgender ideology and the church's response to that ideology from the Bishop of Arlington, Virginia, Bishop Michael Burbidge. And we have Bishop Burbidge here with us now. Thank you very much, Bishop Burbidge, for being with us.
Yeah, thank you, Si. Great to be with you and great to be with your listeners here tonight. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we'll chat for a little while and then we'll let people call with their questions. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. The letter that Bishop Burbidge released is called A Catechesis on the Human Person and Gender Ideology. Bishop, what prompted you to undertake the writing of this letter?
Well, of course, we're celebrating the Respect Life Month now, right? So it's we uphold that beautiful truth that God created us in His own image, in His own likeness, create us uniquely as man and as woman. And as we know, in our day and age, that reality, that beautiful truth is being challenged. And people are taking, paths on which their identity, their identity is not congruent with their biological sex, the way that God has made them. And of course, that has all kinds of implications in the lives of individuals, in the social world, educational world, the medical world. And so we thought, Si, it was really important to present a resource that is a catechetical, a teaching resource, to try to use the great truths of our faith, philosophy, faith and reason, to present what is true, but to do so in a language that would help people to convey this truth to others, because it's being distorted and challenged in so many ways. So we put together a great team of experts in many of these fields, who compassionately and lovingly assisted in this process, and we made a promise that we were not going to create a resource that you're going to need a thick binder to carry it around.
Right, right.
It's going to be a catechetical document that would be sound theologically, philosophically, and at the end of the resource. Contains a lot of endnotes that goes right to direct sources that really, supplement what we're saying in the document if people want to go deeper into what we're conveying.
I have to say, as a catechesis, the language of the document, and again, we're talking with Bishop Michael Burbidge of the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia, and the document we're referring to is A Catechesis on the Human Person and Gender Ideology. You're welcome to call to participate in the conversation, 888-318-7884. The catechetical tone of the document, I thought, was mild compared to some of the ways that Pope Francis talks about transgenderism. He is very forceful in saying, stop this. This is so dangerous to children. Did you feel like, the Pope kind of has your back on this, at least, because he is not playing around?
Well, no. We used, very much in the beginning of the document, we actually used the words of Pope Francis. And that's what we love about Pope Francis, that he does speak. He speaks the language of the people.
Yeah.
And he speaks very candidly and very truthfully. And he said exactly what you mentioned there, that, let's stop this. Let's stop this confusion. God created us a male or a woman as part of His divine and infant plan. That's something beautiful. And stop, conveying anything other than this, especially to our children, and confusing them. We very much used the words of Pope Francis himself to help us.
Well, did it require courage to do this? Because I'll tell you what, you can get thrown off of Twitter and Facebook, and you can become a pariah among all the respectable media if you say basic truths about human sexuality these days. Did that concern you at all?
Well, you know, when I was ordained a priest, you know, I promised the Lord, I'll suffer for you. I'll do whatever I can. I'll suffer for you. But I never thought that suffering would come, you know, because of saying that God created us a man or a woman. And to answer your question, I certainly knew that in because if you say what is true in the areas of sexuality or whatever, the backlash is often fierce. We anticipated that. And we certainly, especially on social media, was the recipient of some very harsh comments and false labeling and a real misunderstanding. But, you know, it's for all of us, all your listeners. They understand that. They know that in the workplace, their own communities, sometimes even their own families, that there is a price to pay sometimes for speaking the truth, even as you speak it in love and with compassion. So, yes, we knew that would happen. But I would say overall, within my diocese and even beyond, we have received a very favorable response of people basically saying, you know, Bishop, I always believe that, you know, God created us man or woman, and that's there's something beautiful about that. But when I get, you know, when I have to defend that in the workplace or whatever, and get somewhat, you know, aggressively in a discussion with people, I just didn't have that language, that those principles or foundations that I could articulate in a sound way. And this document gives me that solid ground. So that's why we say it's a catechetical resource, to give people the language they know to communicate what they know. They know it's
yes,
true.
Right.
So we just wanted to give them the language to communicate.
So you say the situation, meaning this situation of the current kind of gender ideology out there, presents a serious challenge for all members of the church because it presents a view of the human person contrary to the truth. Can you just elaborate a bit on what is contrary to the truth in the gender ideology?
Well, I mean, what is there's accommodations. So if people are asking you to accept what is not true, then it goes to the next step of, and then please accommodate that. And so you'll see that playing out in schools and in the policies, you know, that, you know, you are to use, call me by this name or use this pronoun,
right,
or allow me to use this locker room or to play in this sport. So you're being asked to accommodate that which is not true. And we're saying in our church, in our schools, we will not do that because it's not true. And if we love you and we want to, you know, lead you in a path that doesn't lead to more emotional distress and destruction, we want to guide you in the truth. Well, then our principles and how we act will reflect that too.
Bishop Michael Burbidge is our guest. The document, A Catechesis on the Human Person and Gender Ideology. If you have questions for the bishop, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Another thing that I very much appreciated in this document, Bishop, is this, the sense that you focused on the positive view of human sexuality that's inherent in Christianity, that Christianity presents a wholesome and positive view of Christian sexuality. And that, I think, is often not said. In our arguments here and there, whether we're having them on social media or wherever, they're the political arguments, we don't go back to the basics and say, wait a second, this is a beautiful view of human sexuality. It's true, and you're going to be happier if you accept it.
Right, exactly. And to celebrate, you know, to celebrate God's infinite plan for us and that beautiful truth that it is in the creation of man and woman is also leads to life itself, the creation of life, right? That's how God made us, man and woman. What's one of the beautiful fruits of that in the sacred union of man and woman, in the marriage bond, that the fruitful love, from that comes life itself. And that's God's plan for us. So it's a beautiful truth to celebrate.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that we have noticed is that as we move down this, many people have taken note of this, move down this gender ideology, this is presenting real gross injustices. Like if you connect to a belief system that's not rooted in the truth, you have to defend that using unjust means. There's no other way to do it. And so justice, in other words, is rooted in the truth, and injustice is the consequence of believing lies or promoting lies. Certainly, we see this in, you know, women being disenfranchised from their own womanhood, a woman's bathroom not being what it was before, or a woman's athletic department not being what it was before for women. But I was struck also that about the young people who present with, you know, I'm a boy, not a girl, or I'm a girl, not a boy, are being medically mistreated. And you address that a little bit in the letter.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And because that is an extreme of that, you know, because of this falsehood that my emotional or psychological identity not matching with, you know, who I am physically, biologically, every part of my DNA tells me who I am. To identify as something other than that, and then to seek, you know, surgical procedures or medical applications to change that is just, you know, as you mentioned, is in itself can cause, you know, emotional, even greater distress. And much research, and again, if you look at the endnotes in the document, you know, the research clearly shows that so often and so sadly, years and years later, you know, people who are at a younger age and maybe not thoroughly thought this out and were permitted and encouraged to do so by fact, they were saying, why would you let me do this?
Yes,
you know,
right.
Look what happened, you know? I didn't know at that age or whatever. And so there's a whole section talking to parents about, you know, that there is a path other than you love your child and you want to support your child in every possible course, you know, but that necessarily means that you don't do so by implementing procedures that are, you know, buying into that which is false. And because in the end, it's that lack of clarity that really is causing more distress in the life of yeah. their children. So it's a sensitive area. I hope the section two parents is helpful, you know, as a resource of how to have that conversation.
A catechesis on the human person and gender ideology came out this summer from Bishop Michael Burbidge of the Arlington Diocese here in the United States. Lots of folks on the line ready to talk with you, Bishop. We have to take a quick break, and we'll do that. There are a couple lines still open. If you have a question or comment you'd like to share with the Bishop, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
You remember Rocky Balboa? If somebody said, "Yo, Rocky, man, you the Rock," like, you would have caught the rather cheesy verbal play on words quite easily. And that's exactly what Jesus does. So he uses the word Petra in Greek is feminine. He masculinizes it, Petros, to make it refer to a masculine person. Uh-huh. And so it's as if Jesus said, "Yo, Rocky, you the Rock."
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Bishop Michael Burbidge of the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia, our guest. Darren, how can they want me to do commerce while we have Bishop Burbidge on with them? Like, they want me to say there's a store-wide sale at shop.catholic.com. Everything's on sale, 25% off, up to 50% off at shop.catholic.com. I can't say that while the bishop's here. I'm sorry, I'm not saying that. Excuse me, Bishop Burbidge, I apologize. They wanted me to read an ad. Well, we have you, Darren. I just can't do it.
You have to do that. That's no problem, Wyatt.
Okay, fair enough.
We want to keep you guys in business.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate your understanding, Bishop. 888-318-7884 is our number here. As I said, we have some folks who'd like to talk with the bishop about the document. I want to keep letting people know the name of the document. You can get it by just going to the website of the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. It's called A Catechesis on the Human Person and Gender Ideology, and it is aptly named because that's exactly what it is. It's just a catechesis, walks it through what the church teaches, gives you some of what the world teaches, and explains to you how you deal with the what is a conflict between the two of those things. Bishop, you okay if we go to some phone calls?
That'd be great, sure.
All right, let's start with Darren, can you help me with the phone bank? Martin in Lubbock, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. You are first up with Bishop Michael Burbidge. Thank you for your call, Martin. Go ahead with your question.
Hello, Bishop. How are you today?
Doing well, Martin. Thank you.
Just wanted to have a question, comment. How did this all get started, and how did everyone get so involved and confused?
Fair enough, Martin. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a very good question, Martin, and I'm sure the factors are endless. But I think that certainly it begins, I think, with the understanding of human life itself, that is a precious gift, that we have a creator who has given us life, who has a plan for us, who has created us man and woman. The dignity of the human person, respecting all that God has given us, our gender, our gifts, our talents, our weaknesses, whatever, and then certainly of a relativism where because I think so or because I think it's true, then that means it's true, and you should accept that. Just a giving. A kind of a distancing from philosophical and theological foundations and principles that guide us. And so I think that, like in any area, it's important for us maybe to get to what that real issue is. You know, we're talking about this, but we're talking to a person. And what are the issues? What are the real issues behind this particular point that you're in right now? So I think it's, unfortunately, we just live in a world because if I say it's true and we dismiss reality and we're supposed to accept that. And thank God we're in a church, members of a Catholic church that is based on the truth with sound theological, philosophical teachings that can apply to all the moral issues that we face.
Martin, thank you. I hope that was helpful for you. Thank you very, very much. I mean, in thinking about Martin's question, I'm wondering if you had the impression, I think that many people have, that this happened very quickly. I mean, it didn't, even 10 years ago, this isn't, you weren't obligated in public life to kind of, say yes to all these things. And now suddenly this radical change is upon us. Were you struck by how fast it all happened?
Very much so, but not in some ways not surprised, because that's what happens, is that once you begin denying basic realities about the human person, about sexuality. You know, if you take one step this way, and then it's going to go to the extreme. And I think now we really have reached an extreme. And but it begins slowly. It begins chipping away. And then what you can see as you're doing it, you can see the path it's heading. And that's why we thought we have reached a point where we really have to speak out clearly and compassionately. But in bold truth,
yes,
it's the only way we're going to reverse the situation.
Again, Martin, thank you very much for the call. Going to go to Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Mark, listening on Divine Mercy Radio in Chapel Hill. Thank you so much for your call, Mark. Go ahead with your question for Bishop Michael Burbidge.
It's great to chat with you again, Reverend Burbidge.
I heard Chapel Hill reminded my former diocese. Hello to everyone in Chapel Hill, Mark.
That's right. It's sort of with a couple relatives in our family that have transitioned to being the opposite sex, and it seems like everyone in the family embracing it, where seems like the only one that just says something's just not right here. It's sort of on how, maybe even what's the first question I would even talk to my parents about or something to find out how to try to navigate all this.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Mark. I think that, families or extended families more and more are able to say that this is a reality in my own family, whether it's a sibling or a cousin or a second cousin or whatever. So it is definitely hitting home. So one thing that we certainly talk about in this document is that we always want to reaffirm that that person we're sitting next to is loved by God, is a child of God, and we respect that person and love that person as our family member, as a friend, and nothing would change that. But yet, in a relationship that is loving, there has to be that mutual acceptance of dialogue. So, someone who loves you should not be asking you, to prove your love by saying something that you know and believe is not true. You can't do that if you love them. And so, you reaffirm your care for them, that your willingness to support them in any way possible. But you have to stand faithful to what you know and believe is true. And I think it's very, very possible to do that without denying your love for someone. I mean, it ends up that you disagree. You're on different pages here, but you still can continue to love a family member and be available. And sometimes your willingness to just listen to the person compassionately, your steady, contact with them, you never know where that will lead. One day it may be you who never wavered. You may be the person that family comes back to and say, you were right. Can I talk to you? Maybe you can help me with this. So just be true to yourself and loving to the person in the family who may be going through this distress.
Okay, Mark.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bishop, thanks, Mark.
Did you get any pushback from people who would complain in this way? Like, why don't you just leave these people alone? Let them do what they want to do. You do what you want to do. I wonder why. So how do you respond to that?
That was definitely that was definitely some of the pushback we received. And what you were saying earlier, that this kind of issue impacts all of us. Because if you're asking for these accommodations, this is going to have impact on all the faithful. that a shepherd, not just the person going through this. So, you know, I hear from teachers, you know, who are Catholics who teach in public schools, and they tell me, you know, some of the things that they are required to accommodate, to allow, to keep from parents, and to be exactly the opposite of the person they are, why they chose teaching in the beginning.
Yes.
So it's impacting all of us. It's just not dealing with the person, you know, going through this. So I said, no, I'm shepherd, I'm bishop, father to all people. And that's why we spoke out.
Oh, we like hearing a bishop talk that way. We'll take a very quick break, and we'll be right back with more conversation with Bishop Michael Burbidge of the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Tomorrow on More to Life, getting over guilt.
We'll help you combat the guilt that weighs you down.
That's tomorrow on More to Life. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Your calls and questions welcome for our guest, Bishop Michael Burbidge of the Arlington Diocese in Virginia. We're talking about his document, A Catechesis on the Human Person and Gender Ideology. And a lot of times the way it works around here at Catholic Answers is document from the church comes out, somebody sends it around to all of us and says, what do you think? And I have to say the take on A Catechesis on the Human Person and Gender Ideology was, no one has done it better. I mean, there was a sense of relief, like, oh, there it is. Well, that's the document we've been looking for. So we were very grateful for it, Bishop. Its tone was, it was charitable but clear. And too many times we choose between one of those two, and I didn't think you made the choice. You were both clear and charitable.
Thank you so much. That was our goal.
More folks on the line ready to ask their questions. Let me just see who we've got here. We're going to Patrick in Seattle, Washington, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Patrick, we're very grateful for your call. Go ahead with your question for Bishop Michael Burbidge.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
We can, Patrick.
Excellent. Yes, thank you. So, Your Excellency, I was wondering if you would agree with me in that perhaps one way to talk to people who embrace this gender ideology would be to recognize their feelings. Because I've noticed a lot of times people who embrace this lead with their emotions. And if you were to approach their position from a sense of logic or philosophy, they immediately get really defensive and say, well, you don't understand my feelings. And it's like, well, okay, but so would you think that perhaps recognizing their feelings and somehow utilizing that to take away the invective is an appropriate way to try and reach these people and lead them to the truth?
Patrick, I think that's a very compassionate, very pastoral, very effective way of engaging. You know, if, as you mentioned, if you just begin with, here's the logic, here's the rationale, here's the philosophical and theological and biological principles, so therefore you must understand. You're right. We would probably not be real successful in bringing about, God willing, some sort of transformation in a sense of grasping the truth. So I think we always do well, and I think Pope Francis teaches us this very, very clearly. We always do well by encountering, right? So that is by, you know, let me listen, you know. Tell me, what is it that you are experiencing? You know, what is it that is causing you at this certain point to be at this stage? And help me to understand. Tell me your story, you know? And I think that you're right, that at least, God willing, may open a door for you to have a voice that someone might be willing to listen to. If we put someone immediately on the defensive, then it's very unlikely that we're going to have a conversation or that we will even be heard. So I think, yes, absolutely. I think what you said is a very good, I think it's very good pastoral theology. So, yes.
Okay, Patrick?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. I very much appreciate the call. Lots and lots of calls now, every line full at the moment, so we will keep moving. Bishop Michael Burbidge from the Diocese of Arlington in Virginia is our guest, and we're talking about the gender ideology because he wrote a beautiful catechesis on the gender ideology. We go now all the way down to Austin, Texas. Josh in Austin, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Josh, go ahead with your question for Bishop Burbidge.
Hi, Your Excellency. I'm a nursing student down here in Austin, and something that I'm having to confront lately is the idea that I'm going to, as hopefully a future critical care nurse, address patients and family who identify as transgender. And one of the most important things at the core of our care is building trust and being impartial and kind of not paying attention to the state of the person, but to heal them and take care of them and let them continue on their lives, whatever that may be, whatever our position, criminal or otherwise. And how is the best way for me to approach this without damaging that trust with the patient and without hopefully endangering my livelihood to be able to take care of my wife and my child?
Yeah, thank you, Josh. Thank you for your beautiful vocation and ministry. Certainly, all of us are so grateful to our nurses and physician assistants and those in the medical profession, and how heroic all of you have been, especially in this year, past year and a half. So thank you for your ministry of being an instrument of the Lord's healing love. And that is a reality. I said at the beginning of the show that, you know, this has impact in the legal world, impact in the educational world, and certainly has impact in your world, the medical world. And you know, you are there to heal. You are there to, you know, bring about healing as God's instrument through the medical process. And you know, there is nothing that we would see in a procedure that reverses the way God created a person that will bring about healing and would bring about health mentally, physically, and emotionally. And I know that for people in your profession, people in education and things like that, it does come at a critical point where you have to prayerfully discern, you know, your ability to participate in a institution that promotes that and calls it healing, calls it healing, because that it is not that. And if you know that and that's what you believe, then you have to prayerfully discern if that is the type of institution in which your talents and your gifts can be best served. So this is the problem when we are asked to and sometimes forced to and mandated to accommodate what we know not to be true. It has these kind of consequences on livelihood and supporting the family. And that's why we have to be a strong voice here and really be steadfast in saying that we cannot be forced to do what we in conscience do not believe. And so I know it's a very difficult and challenging situation, but that's the path we're headed. This idea. Yeah.
Yeah. It's striking, Bishop and Josh, how the culture of tolerance just seems to want to fire everybody. I mean, it wants to fire pharmacists because they won't prescribe certain chemicals, want to fire nurses and doctors because they won't go along with the transgender thing. We'll fire cops and firemen because they don't get a vaccination. I mean, everybody's got to get fired in this culture of tolerance. So welcome to that world. Josh, I'm going to leave it there because there are quite a few others who would like to talk with Bishop Burbidge from the Diocese of Arlington in Virginia and in Colorado, listening on EWTN. You are up next. Anne, go ahead with your question for Bishop Burbidge.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I'll just try to summarize this quickly. My sons, who are seniors in high school, have a classmate who started last year during COVID to decide that he is no longer a he and a she and has a new she name and expects all his classmates to call him by his new name. And it's my sons refuse to do that. And it's created quite a bit of difficulty, but it appears too that the mom is supporting this child in his change of decision making, and the school seems to be accommodating it significantly. It's a charter school, and I'm trying to decide. And this is my question for you: who should I start with? The mom, the parents, the school? Where do you start to try to make the correction?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Anne. Thanks for that question. It's a good question. I mean, I think that I think the good conversation is to reaffirm your sons. I mean, I'm sure they it's a challenge for them. That their friend. That they're friends, but they're being asked by their friend to do something that they know is not true, and they don't want to reaffirm an error because they care about their friend. So certainly begin by reassuring that their sons are certainly being, I think, a good friend, and being very supportive, and as long as they reaffirm that they're there to help and support him, but not to compromise who they are and what they believe. I think we're learning across the country that a good place to have these conversations is with school boards and those who are entrusted with the formation of young people, who are enacting policies and procedures and forcing them upon teachers and other students, that our voices have to be heard as parents. And it's sad, as we see throughout our country, certainly in my area, where parents are being asked to not to be part of that process and are, you know, looked down upon because they don't want an indoctrination of their children that is anything but true. So I think, you know, your voice has to be really with your own sons, reaffirming them, and also, yeah, don't get involved in the community itself and in these schools that are having such a, you know, an influence, not always in a positive way, upon our students. So that's what I would suggest.
Ann, thanks. We're a little late for a break, so we're going to take that break. All the lines full, so we'll do as many calls as we can for Bishop Michael Burbidge of the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Many people are confused as to what news program to listen to. One news station promotes one thing, while another says the opposite. That's where Catholic Radio comes in. This is Donetta Robin of Divine Mercy Radio in Hayes, Kansas. Be assured that Catholic Radio will give you the news from a Catholic perspective and without bias. Be informed today. Tune in to Catholic Radio.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Earlier this year, a beautiful catechesis on human sexuality came out from Bishop Michael Burbidge in the Diocese of Arlington in Virginia. It's called A Catechesis on the Human Person and Gender Ideology. We are discussing that document, and your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884. I will warn you that the lines have been quite full, so we'll do our very best to get you on. Next up with a question, I don't know Virginia well, so I don't know if Virginia Beach is in the Diocese of Arlington, but Cyrus, it is?
It's another diocese, Richmond.
Oh, it's that other diocese. Okay. So, all right. Well, Cyrus, you're still welcome here, even though you come from a lesser diocese. No, that's my word, not the bishop's. Go ahead, Cyrus, with your question for Bishop Burbidge. Oh, hang on. I pushed the wrong button. Go ahead, Cyrus.
Thank you. My question is actually embarrassingly similar to the last caller's, but I'll try to make it more brief. So I was listening, and I was curious about one of the things the bishop said. I was curious as to what would be a good litmus test for a Catholic teacher at a public school who is compelled to teach gender ideology. My uncle had to deal with this. He's a Southern Baptist, and he recently had to make that judgment call at a school he was teaching for like 25 years. Because he had to enter that compulsory education. So I'm just curious how much it would take before a good Catholic would have to leave out of moral hygiene from a school that they're accustomed to teaching at because of that.
Yeah, thanks, Cyrus. And only kidding about the Diocese of Richmond. It's a beautiful diocese, and we work very closely together, Bishop Nestout and I. Yeah, I mean, I think, Cyrus, I think, sadly, and I do talk to a number of parishioners in my diocese who are teachers in public school, and this is a reality. And sadly, I do think that it's going to come to a point for some of them where they will have to make that decision, even though they've been, you know, such a part of a school or community for so long. But I do think that it should begin with, you know, not that, oh, you're forcing me to do this, I quit. I don't think that's the way it should go. But I think every faculty member has a right and presented, you know, I'm sure faculty councils or things like that, to engage the administration and say, you know, this I cannot do. and here are the reasons. You know, I'm willing to follow, you know, this part when it comes to the curriculum and all those kind of things. But for me to indoctrinate or to, you know, impose literally is what's being asked, impose untruths to my students, you know, is something that is not acceptable as a longstanding respected faculty member. We have to debate this as a faculty. We have to debate this as an administration. And I'm sure that if you're that one person who initiates that conversation, that person may find out, well, guess what? There's 10, 20 other teachers who feel the same way I do. And I'm not the only one thinking this way, although I'm making it feel like I'm the odd person out here. So it would probably take that one person to step up and begin to see that, you know, within that faculty, you know, even people who may not agree with the principal may say, well, listen, if he or she doesn't feel that way, you know, I'm going to support what's being said here, because what's next? What are you going to ask me to do? And so it, a lot of times it's going to take that one person to step up and say, no, I can't do that. Like any other issue in our school, we have a right to debate and to discuss it as a faculty and as administration, and I'm asking for that opportunity.
Okay, Cyrus.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. In some ways, that's the harder course, Bishop. Sometimes it's easier just to slink away and not engage in the conversation. But it does seem to me we have to have these conversations. There have to be people who just say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Right. And again, I think this the support is there. Many people, you know this to be true. They know it. It's in their being. We understand this is the truth. But we have to be careful, because that's what they want us to be silent. The opposition to what we are talking about here tonight, which is true, the opposition wants us to be silent.
Yeah.
And so what they'll do is that they'll make you, feel that if you say something like this, that you're dealing with hatred or discrimination or, you know, all these kind of false labeling. Well, none of us want to be seen that way, so I'm not going to say anything. Well, that's a strategy, but we can't let that strategy work.
Fair enough, Bishop. And then your letter is a big part of that. I think it's just speaking the truth and reminding people of it and letting the chips fall where they may.
That's right.
All right, let's go to Omaha, Nebraska. Tom in Omaha, listening on KVSS. That's Spirit Catholic Radio. Tom, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Bishop Burbidge.
Thank you. There's one way to stop this real quick, in my opinion. And that's to start suing the doctors that do this. Get someone who's had all this surgery and everything when they're 16, 17, whatever, and now they're 30 and they're had attempted suicide and they're just miserable. Well, let's sue the doctor. I think if that got started, it'd probably be the end of these surgeries.
Bishop?
Yeah, Tom, I don't know, the legal realm and how best to deal with that legally. But I think what you're highlighting is true, and it's something that we refer to in our document with the research that shows that, these kind of medical procedures and have caused great emotional stress. The research points to the fact that it's the end result is often very, very anything but helpful, life-giving, but exactly the opposite. So I think we should, in medical field and in other worlds, use the research, and hopefully that will help guide people's decisions.
Tom, thanks very, very much. That is one thing in this catechesis that you wrote, a catechesis on the human person and gender ideology. You were not shy about using the science and footnoting it. Was that important to you to make clear that you're not anti-scientific or anti, anybody or anything in asserting that our gender is not a negotiable part of ourselves.
Right, exactly. And that was very, very important to us. And that's why we engaged. This was a team effort. And so we engaged a lot of experts from various fields in bioethics and theology and science, which, you know, as a church, we're not opposed to. And in fact, in a case like this, it absolutely supports that which we believe. So that's why we referred to much of that research.
Again, Bishop Michael Burbidge is our guest. A Catechesis on the Human Person and Gender Ideology is the letter. You can find it at the website of the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. Go one at a time, though. Don't crash the server or something, all right? One at a time, go get line up and get your copy of it. This teaching on gender ideology, as we talked about it at the beginning, is very much in sync with what Pope Francis has said quite forcefully many, many times. How do you, Bishop, because you've made this point and the Pope has made this point, and I think even Jesus made this point, that there is this awful ideology which is creating so much injustice, the most horrifying of it towards children, but also towards vulnerable people of all sorts. How do we welcome the person who says, I'm... you know, a man when in fact this person is a woman, or I'm a woman when in fact this person is a man, and do that while still not stooping to the level really of pandering and rejecting the truth.
Right. And, you know, you can say what you agree upon. And we agree upon that you are a child of God. We agree that, and you are loved by God. And you are, and therefore you have a dignity as a human person, which I respect and uphold. And we should love each other that way. But it's out of love that I need to speak to you in truth. I always say, charity requires clarity. Yeah. And that's what we try to do. But if we can just have that conversation, understanding that, you know, you are a child of God. And the church, you know, we say this very clearly in the document, is that the church, accompanies, embraces, walks, wants to walk with you through this process, but to lead you to that which is real, that which is life-giving, that which is makes you more the person God created you to be. That's the path we want to lead you in. But we want to walk with you. And if we're not there yet, we're not going to give up. We're going to continue walking with you. And we're going to be there. And we're going to be there when you need us.
And do you find that that's the case in parishes that people are? I mean, I don't want to share my experience with you, but like, are we Catholics willing to, at the parish level, are the ministers there, the priests, the laity, ready to walk with people, not reject people based on this, but love and continue to be clear?
I see that throughout our diocese, and I'm sure it's throughout the church. Is that it's like any issue. We're complicated, right? We're complicated. Yeah. We're body, we're soul, we're spirit. We're dealing with physical, spiritual, emotional lives, and whatever that area in our lives that is causing us distress or disorientation or disruption in our lives, I really do see our priests and lay faithful who want to be there, and be the ministers of that which will bring healing. So there's so much goodness out there, and that goes for all people without exception.
Our guest has been Bishop Michael Burbidge of the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. Bishop, just a few seconds left. May we have your blessing before we go?
Yeah, and thank you, Cy. Thank you and everyone, your colleagues, for all that you do.
Thank you.
You have a beautiful ministry also, and we really thank you for being messengers of the Lord, of the truth, and of the gospel. And I ask God to bless you and all your listeners and to keep you all safe and healthy and under His care. God bless you all.
Oh, thank you so much, Bishop. We'll come back in a minute with Tim Staples. We'll do an open forum. Thanks, everybody who's called. Sorry we weren't able to get to every single one, but we did the best we could. Bishop Michael Burbidge, our guest. Thanks.